Okay. Done with the commercials. Better. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're going to start with verse 11. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord, we try to persuade men. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We're not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, it is for the sake of God. If we are in our right mind, it is for you. For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. And therefore, all died. And he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view, though we once regarded Christ in this way. We do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. And this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sin against them, and that he committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain, for he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you. In the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, we come before you and we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you did indeed come, live, showed us how to follow our Lord, our God, how to be obedient to the Father. And then you died. You took that sin upon yourself. In our place. And then we're resurrected. Showing your victory. So that we and all who receive reconciliation, who are reconciled with you, who receive the gift of salvation through your substitutionary death and atonement, Lord, that we can be with you forever. Lord, we thank you and we praise you for that. Now, Lord, we just ask for your Holy Spirit to be manifestly present here right now. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me, that as I preach your word here this morning, your people would be encouraged and blessed, and that your name would be the one lifted up and glorified, and that, Lord, this church, we, the people who worship here, would be a light in the darkness. Lord, illuminate our minds so that we might know and understand your word, that we might better be lights to the world. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Since that we know what it is to fear the Lord. Paul starts this next section. Why? Because he just got done talking about the judgment seat of Christ. We're all going to face that judgment. And even if we have received Jesus, our Lord and Savior, there's going to be reward based upon how well did we follow what it is God told us to do. Some are going to get in smelling like smoke. Now, in Jude, verse 22, and I didn't tell you about this one, Mike, so if you can grab it quick, that'd be great. But in Jude, verse 22 and 23, it says, "Be merciful to those who doubt. Snatch others from the fire and save them. To others show mercy, mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh." You know, talking about snatching them out of the fire. Other places it talks about us, our clothing even smelling of smoke. Because we've just been snatched out. That's where we were. That's what Paul was talking about. And he says, because I know to fear God, we try to persuade men. See, because I know what's happening, that there's going to be judgment. Okay? Now, I'm okay because I've accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I'm not going to go to hell. I'm happy about that. It's a good thing. Yet I fear God. Why? Because I still know He is the all-powerful God. He is Almighty. He is the Creator of heaven and earth. He still has that which He wants me to do and that which I need to follow. And if I don't do it, what's going to happen? I'll disappoint Him. I don't know about you, but the last thing I want to do is show up in heaven and have God say, "I'm so glad that you made it. Yeah, I just wish you would have done a better job." You know, "I'm glad you're here, but..." I don't want to hear the "but." You know, "but you could have brought your friends with you. You could have brought your co-workers with you. You could have brought your children with you. Your brothers, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your cousins, your nephews, your nieces." You know, you get the picture. I don't want to hear "but." What I want to hear is, "well done, good and faithful servant." So I don't want to disappoint my Lord. And I know that those who haven't received, they're facing eternity of damnation. Not a pleasant prospect. So that propels me forward. Propels me forward. To try to persuade men. Another thing that pushes me forward, compels me, is Christ's love. You know, I know about the fear of God, but I've also got the love of Christ. Now, if I actually have the Holy Spirit within me, then I'm loving people like Christ loved them. If I'm making that decision, remember, love isn't just this emotional ooey-gooey feeling. Remember definition of love? Mike, slide. Love is selfless, loyal, benevolent concern for the well-being of another person. That's love. Selfless, giving of the self. It's loyal. You stick with them even when they don't... not necessarily nice to you. It's benevolent. You do what's best for them, not what they necessarily want you to do. You know, that's why a parent doesn't give a child nothing but candy for breakfast. Even though the child may want candy for breakfast. Why? It's not good for them. God doesn't give us everything we want. Why? Because everything we want isn't good for us. So we need to behave in a way that... Now, Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all. What he did on the cross, he did for everybody. Not just me. And not just us. But everybody. There isn't anybody he didn't die for. Everybody. That reconciliation with the Lord is available for everybody, but not everybody's going to take advantage of it. Why? One, because the lion's share of them, most of them, haven't heard. That's the one we can deal with. That's the one we're supposed to be dealing with. That's the job we've been given. We've been told to tell. Go into all the nations and tell them. We're to tell them about the fact that he died for them on the cross and that he was raised again and that we can be reconciled. And that doing this, that we then become new creations. See, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. We're supposed to tell people about this. You see, this job, this ministry of reconciliation, is one that he gave us. God commissioned us. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything I command you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That's Matthew. Go to Mark. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news in creation. Whoever believes and be baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. We go to Luke. Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he told them, this is what is written. Christ has suffered and rise from the dead on the third day. And the repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised. But stay in the city until you have been clothed with power on high. Acts. Written also by Luke. Says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And then John says, follow me. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. People, this is us. We've been commissioned. We've been given this job of reconciliation. We have literally been made ambassadors. What Paul gives out here. We're ambassadors. What's an ambassador? day and age, we don't use ambassadors quite as much as they used to, and they're not quite as powerful as they once were, though still are very much very important and very powerful in their own way. But you see, ambassadors are an official representative of the government who has been sent to another government or group to represent their government. The ambassador's job, to show up, look nice, show the flag, say, this is our, promote their home country, say, rah, rah, we're good. This is why you should like us. This is why you should love us. This is why you should do business with us. Oh, and represent them before their government and create agreements. Actually, sign legal agreements. They can negotiate those things within a certain text because they've been given the authority to commit their government . Paul is saying we're ambassadors. God has given us, you and I, the authority to represent Himself to the people we meet. We are God's official representative, duly authorized, commissioned, and sent. See, we're authorized. We've got the Holy Spirit seal on us. Commission. Jesus gave us our job, sent. He said, go. He said, as you're going. You know, in the Great Commission passage in Matthew, where it says, as you go, it literally means as you're going through your day-to-day life, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Well, here we are. Are we doing it? Are we acting as God's ambassador? Have we? You know, when an ambassador goes out, everybody takes note of how he acts, or she. And they make a little mistake, it's front page news. Anybody know who the main ambassador is for the United States? Hillary Clinton. She's our Secretary of State. Her job is literally our head ambassador. That's what the Secretary of State is. As she goes out and she represents our nation before other governments, that's why she can go and negotiate with like Putin over in Russia and that. Now, she made a little oopsie a couple weeks ago. Had something, I can't remember what it was, had it translated, and basically Putin said, your translator did a lousy job. That doesn't mean what it says. It doesn't say what you want it to say. And it made front page news. Oops, U.S. messed up again. Oh no, it was just Hillary. It's just Hillary, I mean, that did that, right? No, she represents the United States. So when she messed up, the whole administration of the government messed up, and the whole nation is reflected on that. Why? Because she's the ambassador. Secretary of State. That's the head ambassador for the United States. Now, let's take that and put that into a spiritual context. You and I, we're recognized by other people as representing Christ. Whether we want to admit it or not. And when we do something that is not flattering to the kingdom, or somehow disparages the gospel, It's front page news to everybody who doesn't like the kingdom of God. And is there anybody actively fighting against the kingdom of God? Oh, yeah. And will they take any ammunition, anything that we give them, and use it for propaganda against it? Oh, yeah. So what can we do? Well, first off, let's remember, have an attitude that, hey, I am an ambassador. I need to remember that I'm representing not just myself. I just don't represent Bruce. I represent Northbrook Alliance Church. I just don't represent Northbrook Alliance Church. I represent the Christian Missionary Alliance. I just don't represent the Christian Missionary Alliance. I represent the Church of Christ worldwide. When I say something stupid to some non-Christian, I've just besmirched the entire kingdom of God. I've just blackened our reputation. Now, how easy is it to ruin something versus how easy it is to improve a reputation? How long does it take to destroy a reputation? One misdeed, one word. For every complaint a business gets, they figure they need a minimum of 10 compliments just to stay even, because the complaints weigh so much heavier. Now, we're the ambassadors of Christ and the gospel. We've been commissioned to go and take that out. Yet, are we doing so? Are we recognizing the fact that as we go forward, a lot of us say, I'm not important. I'm not the pastor. Are you or are you not a Christian? If you are a Christian, then you have been given the job. And you are the ambassador to the person or the people whom you are having contact with. And you have been duly authorized to enter into negotiations to bring that person to the kingdom of God. But no pressure here. We're only talking about the salvation of their soul. Not important. Yeah, it is important, isn't it? Pastor, you're talking like a fool. What is important? See, we implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. This is what we're supposed to be doing. Be reconciled to God, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. As God's fellow workers, we urge you to receive, not to receive, God's grace in vain. How do you receive a gift in vain? I was trying to think how to illustrate that. And well, it's a pretty simple one. Here you go, Bruce. Here's the Word of God, the most valuable, precious thing you could ever have. Oh, thank you. I've just received the gift in vain, and what did I do? Did I take it? Did I cherish it? No, I just took it. Yeah, thanks. You ever given a gift to somebody and have them treat it that way? Have you ever seen your gift that you've given somebody treated disrespectfully like that? It bothers you. Well, it bothers God, but what's more important is that, see, this is the gift of salvation, and if you've given the gift, then you receive it in vain, then you're really not receiving it. You're like, yeah, whatever. Sorry about that. Sorry. So we don't want to be receiving the gift in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor I heard you, and in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. See, we often think that we need to wait for some special time to, special event to present the gospel to somebody, to take them to that point where they can receive the gospel. But you see, now is the day of salvation. Today's as good as any. Now is always the right time. I have to tell you, if I didn't know each and every one of you as well as I know each and every one of you, I'd be having an altar call right now. In fact, I'm going to have an altar call right now. But instead of having one saying, would you receive Christ? I'm going to say, do you want to be presenting Christ? Do you want to be His ambassador? If you do, come on forward, we're going to pray. We're not going to sing a song to dismiss. We're done. If you want to come forward and we're going to pray, please do so. Whoever up front, we'll pray together.